This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLaro5. Today's show is brought to you by French Lick Resorts, Man O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Carroll and Stone Insurance, and Edwin Watts Golf. Now, let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Yeah, I don't know. It's early Sunday morning. That's why I'm doing that. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Is that better? Hi, everyone. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5. And we got to wrap up the U.S. Open. We got stories to talk about with my brother, my main man, my head of my peep gang, Perry French. Perry French. Hi,
good
Perry
morning.
French, Perry French.
Good yeah, morning.
And once again, hold on. Once again, for the second time in 3 weeks, I believe, we are not sitting looking at each other as we always do. And it tears at my heart. All right, that may be a little too much, but you're out running around. You are a busy, busy guy.
Yeah, it's just that time of year, right? We're all the golf season is right, rocking and rolling, and that's good. That's a good thing, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully the weather will stop raining for a minute, because it's been a bit of a quagmire lately. So for all you golfers, get out there and hopefully play some golf.
As soon as there's no raindrops, get out there. Play as many holes as you can.
Them.
That's right.
Exactly.
And you are out taking Cleveland golf, Strixon golf, Zaxio golf, all kinds of stuff that we love to round to people that need it the most. And that's us.
Right.
Golfers.
That's right.
All right. Let's start with, I said this to you right before we went on the air. It feels like the U.S. Open was 2 months ago already for some reason to me.
Interesting. Yeah.
It was last weekend. I mean, and it was quite incredible. Just incredible.
Yeah. It proved out to be, the test of golf that, really, the U.S. Open, the USGA was hoping to get, no big gaffes, no big controversies on that part. The golf course was the extraordinary golf test that is Pebble Beach. You know, if you hit it off, you miss those small greens, you're going to have some serious challenges. And it turns out, really, with the two or three best putters of the week who had the chance to win this tournament, and Gary Woodland basically won that tournament with his flat stick, which is kind of unusual for U.S. Open, where we consider it more of a ball striking thing. But he was plus 8.29 strokes gained on the field, which only finished him in second place to Justin Rose. But that was only because Justin Rose was incredibly ridiculous the first 3 days and didn't have the day, of course, on Sunday. But a great exhibition from Gary Woodland to hang in there, close the deal, first time in seven tries at leading after 54 holes, and what a time to do it. So kudos to him for really putting on a show. I think the shot of the tournament might be the shot on 14 going for that green in two.
Yeah.
Knocking it on the green. For those of you who've played there, that is a very, very intimidating shot playing just by yourself for grins.
That's always my third or my fourth or my fifth shot.
Right. Most players are hitting that shot to that green with a wedge to an eight iron at tops, if you're lucky enough to get that close. So for him to land it in that spot, have it stay there, I was having some discussions with some pro friends of mine. We said that the chip and the putt that he made for the birdie was probably as equally impressive.
Yeah. Yes.
That ball was sitting in a very funny lie that could have gone a foot or could have gone off the green, down off the front, if he just plays it wrong. Mm-hmm. And how dicey that spot was.
That and, of course, the chip on 17 on the green.
Oh,
when he was on the green.
17 delivers again.
Yeah, but not the way we've seen before. I mean, we've seen Jack hit the flag stick. We've seen Tom Watson chip in from, 12 feet.
Yeah.
But
out of the shoot top tall rough, it was a crooked shot there.
But,
and then the shot he had was it easier?
We've never seen that kind of shot before.
No. But it was great, and it was great drama because he didn't have that thing won by any stretch. That chip shot gets away from him there. He could have made a double bogey quite simply.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
That quickly,
Yeah.
People don't think, he was not. That shot gets away from him, it's double bogey, and he's going into the last hole with a tie,
Right.
And
coming to 18 where anything could happen there, every single shot that he played on Sunday. By the way, you talked about his putting. He was 150th this season on the PGA Tour in putting up till this week.
Right. Well,
so there's hope for me.
He's been working on it. So there's hope for you. He has been working on it diligently with his instructor, Phil Kenyon, and his putting coach, and it paid off. And he made a quote that he said, "I didn't have any putts that I didn't prepare for." This week he was never so that's the preparation thing, and these guys are doing, they're going to all lengths, and that's what it takes to put a major championship on your in your mantle, on the put the trophy in the case. It's just that much work. So he did it, and we'll probably see some more things from Gary Woodland going forward. I would expect him to be right in the mix, because he has been a top 20 player in the world for the last couple of years for sure. And this hasn't closed the door as much, and certainly has played very well in the majors, as a matter of fact. So he played well in the first two majors of this year. So, good on him.
Yeah, and of course, to cap it off, we all know about Amy and his whole thing with her, which he continued through the week.
Right.
She was on the Today Show. He showed up with the trophy and surprised her. Mm-hmm. He FaceTimed her during the press conference. The whole thing, and I don't know if you and I have talked about it. I might have mentioned it to you, but my brother Mitchie, 8 years ago, did an interview with Gary Woodland at a nothing tournament in South Carolina that he was trying. He had just finished shoulder rehab, and he was trying to get back on tour. And I've watched it four or five times. And my brother said at the time, "I just interviewed the nicest guy in golf, I think." And it was 8 years ago. So.
Well, he's proved that out as well, and it seems that's going to be the, he's earned that, he's earned that reputation, and it's been a feel good story all the way through. So
fantastic.
That's pretty neat that Well, a neat story from the Travelers. If we take a quick minute to talk about the Travelers, because it involves our local a Kentucky boy, and we all know those who follow the UK golf men's golf team and aspiring players, and Chip McDaniel was out at the U.S. Open.
Yes.
He qualified as a local qualifier and ended up making, he made the cut, which was great of him. He shot 77 the last day and finished 78th, which unfortunately he got a little bit of scratch, but not much in that aspect. But more importantly, he earned some points because he's trying to earn his way into what is now the new web.com finals. And I'm drawing a blank on the name of it. It just got announced
today. What is it? The Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Very unusual. But the story is, he's out at the Travelers. He made the Monday qualifier. Now think about what he did. He flew the red eye to Boston, got into Boston at about 5 a.m. Had a 90-minute drive to get to the golf course where the qualifying site was. Barely makes his tee time with everything going perfectly on schedule, which is, traveling across the country. Are you kidding me? And
yes.
He shoots 67. The 67 doesn't get him in automatically because there's nine guys going for three spots, which he's involved in the playoff. He makes two pars and a birdie, gets in, and he's playing in the Travelers this week with an amazing, just to be able to play four rounds at the U.S. Open, travel. I mean, this is an amazing story. And I guess he's earned the nickname now, Mr. Monday. That's the thing that's kind of he's done this a few times before, and of course he's going to be playing here in Lexington at the Barbasol. So if you get a chance, be sure and follow Chip McDaniel
Yeah, I remember.
Leaderboard this week.
You know, last year's Barbasol, when they announced the field, Chip had just turned pro. That was his first. He got an exempt. They gave him an exemption, which is deserved.
And he got that again this year as well. Yeah.
Yes. And we interviewed him. We had him on Backspin Golf last year out at the golf course. And he's a fantastic young man. And he's got a big future ahead of him, I really believe.
He does. And just so you know, he does wear a Srixon cap. He plays our ball and plays our iron.
Of course.
That's the reason we give him the big plug. No, he's excited to have him out there. And we got him on staff when he came out from college last year. It was pretty exciting. So, and then two other players making their tour debuts this week at the Travelers. And these are not names that maybe everybody will recognize, but they're certainly, these two boys are well versed in playing competitive golf. Matthew Walt and Victor Hovland, both from the Oklahoma State University, they've left early. And these two kids are both playing. I say kids; they're only 22, but man, are 21 and 22, and they can absolutely flag off their ball. And in fact, Hovland just got done being the low am at the U.S. Open to go with the low am at the Masters, so he's having a pretty good year.
He's also the U.S. Amateur champion.
That's right, reigning U.S. Amateur champion as well.
Yes.
So he won't be defending this year, but that's fine. And Matthew Wolf he won the Nicklaus and the Haskins top collegiate awards for top college player of this year with 6 wins, including the NCAA championship. So you gotta take, if you're doing anything this weekend, tune in to see these those two guys, and hopefully Chip will play well, and they'll all be in the hunt come Sunday afternoon to see the young guns that continue to roll their way onto the PGA Tour is amazing.
All right, we only got about 2.5 minutes here, but real quickly, people should watch Matthew Wolf, because this kid, one of the top amateur players who is now on the PGA Tour, his swing is unlike pretty much any swing we've seen in a long, long time, right?
No question. It is a uniquely dynamic swing. It's I call it Jim Furyk swing on steroids.
because
he moves the club. He moves the club very vertically from the takeaway. The club gets his hands are high, and the club is actually over his head. The shaft is across the top of his head, and he has a quirky setup where he gets started. He has a little bit of a kind of a quick setup move. He kind of flexes his knees. He turns his hips, and he is into a full swing, and he is absolutely, they say, a pure ball striker. He hits it solid, and he hits it a long ways. He will challenge anybody at the top of the leaderboard for average driving distance, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's going to be in that category.
Again, it brings up things we talk about all the time, and I am so guilty of this. We all have an idea of what a perfect golf swing. We should be doing this. I should be doing with my hips. And then you look at a guy like Matthew Wolf, and the only thing that matters, I'm doing it with my hands, you can't see me, is that couple of feet right at the ball, right before impact and right after impact. That's all that matters.
You know, we can just go back a little bit to the Jordan Spieth swing and what his teacher and Cameron McCormick did with him, and not really tweaking his swing, you know, just letting him swing. It's much more orthodox than what Matthew Wolf has got going, for sure. But Matthew Wolf has this dynamic power, and George Genkis, his teaching pro out of California, who's kind of getting a pretty unique name for himself in the world of golf with the way he lets players swing their swing. He works on trying to create a big shoulder turn to create power. And I caught an interview with him, and he said, talking about Matthew, he said Matthew thinks that his swing, that the golf club is very much, you know, around his body. He doesn't feel like it's up in the air, you know. That's what he feels. You know, you can't see your swing. You can only, like you mentioned, you can only tell how strongly, how squarely you hit the ball, how solid you hit it, and where it goes. And that's, you know, guys and gals, that's all that matters out there. If you can find those things that work for you, get after it.
Yeah, all right. That's what I'm going to do from now on, and I'm going to end up swinging. Swing my – ooh, that's the new theme of our show. Swing your swing with Perry French, Perry French. Cool.
Good.
All right.
Have a good one.
Get back to business, and hopefully I will – next week I will be sitting across from you, hopefully.
We'll plan on it.
All right. Thanks, pal.
See you. Okay.
See you. All right. the great Perry French, Perry French. We'll take a break. When we come back, Kelly Williams, the main guy over at Greenbrier Country Club, one of our absolute best, and one of the host courses for the Children's Charity Classic. We'll talk to him about that. I also want to talk to him about his big stint at the PGA Championship, where he was doing the announcing of the golfers, including Brooks Koepka, at the PGA at Bethpage Black. We'll talk about that. All of it on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf. The incredible Children's Charity Classic this weekend. I'm speaking with Kelly Williams earlier this week because he's so busy. He's so important in every aspect of, well, really of life, that I had to just grab a few minutes with him when I could. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Matthew. How are you, my friend?
You see, he doesn't. Hey, Sean, in the old days, he would have laughed and said, oh, come on, I'm not that important. Now he just accepts it, and that's just the way it is. Okay, I get it. No, that's all right. Here's where I want to start. Before we get to this incredible golf tournament that every year raises all this money, I want to talk to you about what happened, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or a month at the PGA Championship, one of the majors. And all of a sudden, we're watching, and there's Kelly Williams and doing the announcing on the tee, Mr. PGA, and hogging your way into every photograph that was taken there. Talk to us about that for a minute.
Oh, man, yeah. Hogging my way into every photograph. No, listen, it's me involved with the championship, like the PGA championship, and my role, I'm fortunate, first of all, to get to do it. But my role is the district pin director for the PGA of America. There are 14 of us from across the country. I represent approximately 3,000 PGA members from the Middle Atlantic, Carolinas, and Kentucky PGA. So,
wow.
When I was on the first tee, yes, I did get to announce the players as they started on Saturday's round. But it wasn't just me. It was me representing all my fellow PGA professionals, the men and women who go to work every day to better the game, to grow the game, to teach the game, and to make sure that folks like you and all your listeners get to enjoy the wonderful game of golf. So, yes, while I got the honor of doing it, I did it on behalf of all those I represent. So thanks for noticing, and it was a real, real honor.
Yeah, well, that was great, but thanks for noticing, really? There were 80... posts on social media about it. What do you mean, thanks for noticing?
Yeah.
I couldn't help it.
My phone was really blowing up as I was there on the first tee. I had the likes of Ricky Fowler, and I think I had Charles Howell and Sung Kang, who had just won the week before, who's somebody that I've gotten to play a little bit of golf with. And
wow.
Certainly Phil Mickelson. I mean, it was an amazing lineup of players, but it was just awesome to be part of that stage. They're on the first tee at Bethpage Black.
Yeah.
Obviously, a historic facility. And what a championship. And then, whether or not you knew, but I got to announce Brooks Koepka as he finished his round on the 72nd hole on Sunday as well. And to be part of that scene, watching him win the championship, the end champion nonetheless, was also equally incredible.
Yeah. Well, you didn't call him Bruce, though, right?
No, I did not call him Bruce.
Okay.
No, I had it right. I had a lot of New York who were, you know, they had a lot about everything that I offered. But no, I got it right. Brooks Koepka.
Good.
Palm Beach, Florida.
That a boy. Good.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's move to this weekend. This tournament, by the way, I've only mentioned it, I think, what, 40 times, Sean? I believe it's my 33rd year. It's either my 33rd or 34th year playing in this tournament, and I say it every year. There is no better tournament, charity golf tournament, in America than this tournament. Most of the ones that that guy Doug Flynn, I don't know if you know him, but he and I have played in over the years, they're gone, most of them.
for one reason or another. And yet this tournament not only is still here, but continues to give away so much money that help. I believe the check this year was for 37 different children's charities in Central Kentucky. Is that right?
Yeah, and about $375,000. So
Lord.
It's pretty incredible. I think we're over $10 million in our 39-year history now. So it's really, really incredible to see the work we're doing. And, you know, things like the Ronald McDonald House, the Children's Advocacy Center, Lexington Hearing and Speech, and that list just goes on and on and on. Of charities and children who are underserved, and we try to do our part through golf. Again, golf is the vehicle to get this done.
Yep. You know, it's funny, and of course, you're the main guy out at Greenbrier Country Club, which is one of the fantastic country clubs anywhere. And I remember playing at that in the tournament when I was living in L.A., and I used to come out. And there were a couple of years there where the fairways, I'm talking about, this is probably 25 years ago or maybe even 30 years ago, where we had trouble with the fairways, and I remember all kinds of different stuff, and yet every year we go back, and now it's just absolutely gorgeous, and we play there and at Griffin Gate this year, two amazing golf courses. I mean, it's just, as a golfer, which Doug will say I'm not, but I am, I am still. we can't say enough about the two golf courses we get to play on.
Yeah, Greenbrier is a pretty amazing place. Certainly, I've been fortunate to grow up and my career kind of flourish, and opportunities keep arising there. And so I'm really proud to be a part of it.
How long have you been there?
Oh, gosh. I guess I got my first paycheck from the club in 1996. I was a bag boy. So it's just you can start at the bottom and work your way up.
Nice.
And, I've certainly done that. But today I'm general manager as a head professional in 2001 and moved into that GM role, gosh, I don't know, about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my deal, and that's what we do.
Well, talk to me for a minute in the couple minutes we have left about your thoughts about what just happened out at Pebble Beach. I mean, my feeling is that a final round at Pebble Beach in the U.S. Open on that Sunday has never been played better than Gary Woodland played it on Sunday.
And I watched every single shot of it.
Yep.
It was awesome to have it in prime time. The USGA absolutely got it right. I told some friends, I said, if the USGA can and let themselves, 12-under could win this thing. 12-under should win it. And
right.
Sure enough, Woodland makes a bomb and gets to 13. So, but, I mean, is there any finer spectacle in golf, certainly in American golf, than Pebble Beach? And all that it was all weekend long, if you hit a bad shot, you were penalized. If you hit good shots, you had short, makeable birdie putts. Get out of the gate in those first seven holes and really take advantage of the golf course, and then just kind of hang on to your shorts there through the middle of the round. And then, you know, there were a few opportunities coming in. But what Woodland did was amazing. If you've watched at all, if you've been around social media to watch him, the relationship he has with that young woman with Down syndrome, it just shows you where his heart is. So what a great champion. He also wears all the folds of honor garb, too. And a huge supporter of veterans and folks who fight for our country. So it couldn't have gone to a better champion. And then to see what Brooks Koepka did, putting the pressure on him and trying like heck to win a third in a row and a third major, or excuse me, a fifth major in nine tries.
Yeah.
What a spectacle. I mean, it's just awesome. Awesome player game. Great for golf.
It was. Once again, I will say to you, thank you for everything that you do, because, you know, even though Doug Flynn likes to take all the credit for this whole tournament, he doesn't even, you know, Johnny gets no credit, Matthew Mitchell gets, Kim Sweezy, nobody that's worked on it for so hard gets any of the credit, but I'd like to publicly thank you for everything you do for the tournament.
Listen, you can thank me all you want, and I appreciate it. But we have a really hard-working group of volunteers.
Yes, that's true.
Happen. Passionate people, and then we have a huge,
huge support of the local community and the donors who write checks.
Yep.
And yep. We can have all the volunteers in the world, but if we don't have gracious donors, then we don't have much. So
yeah.
It's fun to see our community team up and do something great for kids who need a little bit of help. And as a father, I appreciate that more than you know it. Well, I'm sure you do know it.
Yeah, I do. Yourself. Well, you're a great father, and you're a great pro, and you're just an all-around great guy. I mean, you know, what can I say? Thanks
you're
for
advertising me. Thanks.
Thanks for talking to us, and I'll see you real soon.
Okay, thanks, Matthew.
All right, man. See you.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. I've been doing this show now for 6 years, I think. I've never done an interview in the breakfast room of the Hyatt Place Hotel in Hamburg. This is my first one. But there's a really good reason, because I'm sitting here with... I don't even know how to describe him. He's maybe the most singular golfer in the world, really. He's shaking his head, yes. Thad Daybird joins me now. Hi, Thad.
Hi. Glad to be here. after that reveling intro,
yeah.
I'm glad to
well,
be here.
Well, now here's the thing. It was kind of a little ironic.
Yeah.
But we're sitting here, Children's Charity Classic. I guess, did I meet you through Mitchell? It's been so many years ago. Anyway, through the celebrity golf circuit is how we met, one way or another.
Right.
Thad, as I've mentioned before, is the world... He holds the... You still are in the Guinness Book of World Records. Is that correct?
Right.
One club record. You went to Sunningdale in England? Is that where you did this?
In Raleigh, North Carolina. Close. You were close.
Well, it's almost Sunningdale in North in Raleigh, North Carolina, using just a 6-iron, and you shot?
I shot 2 under par, 70, in the competition, in the World One Club title event, using only a 6-iron for every shot.
You know what? The more I think about this, it's not that big a deal. Seriously, I could do that. Today, as a matter of fact, I hit my 6-iron, I want to say 220. Of course, I was 150 out.
That's not so good.
I hit it because I bladed it, and it hit a sprinkler head, and it went for... anyway, World One Club champion.
Right.
Here's... You and I have known each other for a long time, but I want to talk to you...
32 years. I just figured it out in my head.
Really?
Mm-hmm. 32 years. It dates back to the Eggleston Tournament in Atlanta in 1987.
Phil Negro's Tournament? Was that
the... It was... I don't think
Eggleston.
It was Phil's term. It was
but
Eggleston.
I remember it.
Phil was an integral part of it.
Okay.
But it was the Eggleston Hospital.
32 years ago?
32 years ago.
Yeah, well, it's like it was yesterday. anyway, that's pretty cool that you remembered that. Anyway, we're going to talk a little about the Children's Charity, and it's been a great, great weekend. And you, for the 14th year, will be hosting a charity golf tournament in, get this, peeps, Maui.
It's an event I started 14 years ago in Hawaii to benefit some charities out there, and it's kind of taken several forms through the years, and now it's become kind of a food, wine, and golf event on the island of Maui to benefit the Maui food banks and a couple of cancer charities out there that we're real proud of. So.
How did you get started? I mean, tell the people you live.
Yeah,
now, wait.
Tell the
people where you live.
It's an interesting story. I live at Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. I grew up in the Carolinas.
Right.
I've been involved in a lot of golf things through the years, both playing professional golf and then working with Gary Player's company for a little while and then doing some golf event management stuff that I started a company in 1995. So I was doing a few projects in Hawaii and met a gentleman out there who was in the real estate development business, had a large company out there. And he came to me and said, we want to start a celebrity golf tournament out here on the Big Island of Hawaii. We've never had anything like that, but we want to, you know, get it going. If you'll put it all together, bring the celebrities out, work with the golf, really make it into a top shelf event, which we did the first year. And we benefited the Boys and Girls Club there on the island. It was a tremendous success. However, back in 2005, when this was first launched, the real estate market started to tank a little bit here in the States. It even started to tank more out there in Hawaii. So the second year, he came to me and said, we really can't put up the funds to do this, even though we want to try to keep it going. I said, and without a title sponsor, I couldn't do it.
Right.
So I said, well, I had an idea of my own. I think if I took this to the island of Maui, I had some contacts over there where I could get a nice title sponsor, and it would be a much better destination to be able to do this at. So long story short, we did it over there. I went to a hotel over there, got the golf range, got the hotel range, and off we went. And kind of steered it more into the food and wine than golf. I said, I've been in golf all my life, and I just didn't like the idea of doing another golf tournament.
Right.
I wanted to kind of make it more on the food wine, get some Food Network chefs involved, get some wineries involved, and then play some nice places.
Right. And we can play some golf while we're there.
Exactly. So we did that. It's been a great formula. We've 14 years now, and we've grown every single year. We haven't taken a back step any year, even with the economy up and down like that. So we're moving along nice, and it's a lot of fun. We get a lot of great folks that come over there, a lot of people that come year to year, a lot of people that come every 3 or 4 years maybe, because it's a haul, and it's a journey to be able to do that. So, but anyway, it's a lot of fun, and I'm really proud of it.
I'll tell you, I've mentioned this on this show, actually, talking about the tournament that we're at the Children's Charity, which is the 39th year. And the way I talk about it, and it goes for yours too, when you have a tournament that can run this long, it's really amazing. 14 years, 39 years.
Yeah.
A lot of the tournaments that you and I were very fortunate, we were kind of on the celebrity golf tour for a while.
Oh, yeah.
If we weren't working, we were playing in an event somewhere the whole summer, it seemed like, for a long time.
Yeah.
Most of those tournaments...
Majority of the year, really. That's, you know, off and on, yeah.
And most of those tournaments aren't there.
Yeah, it's very rare that tournaments last more than 7, 8, 9 years.
If that.
That's kind of the...
Right.
You know, if you make it past that, you're doing really well. We've seen a lot of them come and go. And, I'm really proud to be able to be a part of this event. This is probably one of the most special events we come to all through the year, because we've met so many people up here. So many people through the years. I've been coming since 1990 here. I think 1990 was my first year here with Scott Foss.
29 years.
Yeah, with Scott Foss.
Yeah, so you're not... See, I'm still the record holder here. This is my 33rd year here.
Yeah.
So...
And I missed a few years in between. I haven't come every single year, but I've missed a few years. But we've been here the last 11 or 12 years, I know. And it just keeps rolling along, and everybody does such a fantastic job.
We've known each other long enough where... We were at a tournament, I want to say it was either Hilton Head or somewhere, where your daughter, Blair, babysat for my boys, Everett and Lee.
I think you're right.
And they were tiny. I mean, they were
small.
They were small, and Blair babysat them, and they loved her. And how is Blair doing now? How old is Blair?
Yeah, Blair's 23 years old. And she just graduated Clemson a year or so ago, and now she's in Charleston in the pharmacy school for 3 more years.
Unbelievable.
And she's getting married in a year.
No, that can't be. No. I wanted her to marry Everett, and Everett's 15. Okay. All right, so we've talked about these charity golf tournaments. In the few minutes we have left, as long as I've known you, how did the one club thing come about? We're talking with Thad Daber, former world. Are you still world?
Yeah, I'm the world champion because I hold the Guinness World Record.
So, you'll be 80 and you'll still be the world champion
as long as nobody's broken my record.
Oh, nobody's breaking that unless they cheat. Nobody's breaking that record. Okay. He is the world one club champion.
Right.
It's just wrong.
I played competitive golf for about 9 years all around the world and some PGA circuits. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of on the tail end of that career, and I heard about this tournament. I never heard about the One Club tournament before, and it was a world championship tournament, and that year was being held in North Carolina, not far from where I was living at the time. Right. So I said, this is kind of unusual and bizarre enough to think.
Yeah, that it interests me.
I'm going to go out and see just see what I can do. I'm just kind of curious as to what right. I can do because I grew up being a really field player, you know, in a time when there was no video and none of this mechanics right. and stuff, technology there is now. You kind of learned it on your own or you read books,
right.
you know, or read magazines. So I learned to play and learned to be a scratch player all from field. So I said, that kind of plays right into my hand. You know, I think I could do really well at this. If I go out and play the golf course mm-hmm. and figure out on every
hole where I need to be. Right.
So I basically went out and played three practice rounds, I think, on the golf course to determine where I needed to hit every single shot. And I had it mapped out in a yardage book.
Yeah.
You know, and this was there was no range finders, you know, then.
Right.
It was
yeah. no,
you had a spiral notebook.
Right.
And I had each hole mapped out. And I knew where I wanted to hit every tee shot, either left center, center, or right center. And I knew where I wanted to come into the hole from, depending, and I would base it on where the pin was.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to leave myself in a safe position. That would mostly middle of the green, front of the green.
Right.
Unless there was, you know, and I would luck up and have a birdie chance every now and then. So I kind of figured out where I wanted to be on pretty much every single hole and the distance I needed to be on every, because sometimes I wanted to hit like an 80% 6-iron off the tee. Sometimes I wanted to hit like 110% 6-iron off the tee.
Right.
Because I needed to be in a certain position.
Now, here, we only got a couple minutes left, but I've seen you do clinics and all. You have right. a 6-iron in your hand, and you're hitting 40-yard flop shots
right.
and 200-yard bullets. And so this is what you're talking about.
So that's
one
yeah.
club.
And then to expand on that, too, I learned how to work the ball right to left, you know, and I wanted to be, you know, hit a hook shot into a hole or mm-hmm. a cut shot, high shot, low shot, whatever I need to do. So it was really a strategy involved as much. Now, at the time, I was playing a lot of golf,
yeah.
and I was probably a plus handicap anyway, so I was going to go out and kind of position where I need to be. And I won the title 1 year when I shot 74, I think.
Oh.
And then 2 years later, I shot 70, and I was playing with Bucky Waters from Duke.
The Buckster.
And Bucky was in my group, and we talk about it all the time through the years now. And it was one of those rounds, and I tell people, it was one of those rounds like shooting 61 or 62 with your whole bag.
Yeah, oh.
Because yeah, I hit it every spot. I did make two bogeys, but they were kind of lousy bogeys, yeah. you know, that I shouldn't have made. I got in two sand traps, and I got up and down out of both of those sand traps.
I made
four birdies in the last 14 holes coming in.
Wow!
And it was well good enough to win the title. And Guinness was there, recognized the round by the yardage of the golf course, which is about 6,200 yards,
right.
like a white tee,
yeah.
basically. And that kind of sent me on my way. And
we're sitting here now at a table in the breakfast room, deserted right now at yeah. the Hyatt, and you're still the World One Club. Champion.
31 years later.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, 31 years later.
This is a whole... Me calling you the former, it's kind of an insult, actually. I apologize. I didn't know. You never told me that.
No, that's the technicality of it. Yeah. And, you know, it's opened a lot of doors for me to play in a lot of events.
Yeah.
Played in Charles Barkley's event, Michael Jordan's event. You know, Michael asked me to do a golf exhibition, his event in Eastern North Carolina. And I had just won the world title event, and I didn't have an exhibition. I said,
yeah.
"But I'll work up something." You know,
right.
I did a little show, and it kind of took off. More people saw that, wanted me to do this, that.
It's amazing, and people are just astounded when they sit there and watch.
Yeah.
And then we have to go out on the golf course with 14 clubs in the bag, and you're doing it with one club, and we can't do it. Although for 9 holes, I did. Oh, I won't
yeah.
get into it.
All right. You did.
You're the greatest, man.
You did.
Thanks for talking to us.
Always a pleasure to see you.
I'll see you
Always.
Soon. Okay.
Always. Thanks a lot.
All right.
All right. That'll do it for this edition of Backspin Golf, the very special Children's Charity Classic edition of Backspin Golf. What a weekend. What a weekend. Thanks. Here's something not enough people say. Thanks to the volunteers that work all year, a lot of them, and all of them for the last week have been working almost all day and night to put this thing on. It's just amazing. Thank you to the volunteers and to everybody that's donated to these worthy children's charities. Thank you. We'll be back next week. Of course, thank you to Perry French, Kelly Williams. You know, we have great guests all the time, and I'm very grateful. And to our sponsors, our partners in this, Carolyn Stone Insurance Services. If you need any kind of insurance, they are the people. I'm with them. They're fantastic. They're just great. Edwin Watts Golf, all kinds of sales and things. Anything you need, you can get it at Edwin Watts Golf. Trust me, because I've gotten a lot of stuff over there. French Lick Resort. I will be going up to French Lick very soon to play in the Symetra Tour Pro-Am, and I'll talk much more about that as we go. And, of course, Lexington Parks and Rec for the great golf courses we have here. This week I didn't get to play at Kearney because I played at Greenbrier and over at Griffin Gate, two great golf courses, obviously. Next week I'll be back at my home course, Kearney, so thanks to them. We'll be back next week with another edition of Backspin Golf. Thanks for listening. It's ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5. And, of course, the greatest practice facility anywhere and a top 100 club fitter in America, Man of War Golf. There's no place better. Get your clubs fit, people. Go see Brad and all the great people over at Man of War Golf.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.